Welcome to The Power of Stories, a podcast by women, about women, and for women. Their voices and their stories. I am Sharon Catherine D'Agostino, a passionate advocate for the empowerment of women and girls everywhere, and the founder of sayitforward.org.
And I'm Yodit Kifle-Smith, a creative dedicated to making sure the voices and stories of women are heard. I have the privilege of working with Sharon on sayitforward.org to do just that. In this podcast, you will meet courageous women from around the world whose unique path to empowerment will leave you encouraged and inspired.
We are thrilled to have Lauren Martinez join us today from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Lauren is an award-winning teen mentor and president of Girls Above Society, a nonprofit organization dedicated to empowering today's young girls to be confident, kind, and cyber smart. Lauren, thank you so much for making the time to be here with us today.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Lauren, it's great to be talking with you today. I heard you describe in an interview that you were cyberbullied when you were 13 years old and you were in middle school. Would you talk about what that experience was like for you as a 13-year-old?
I was cyberbullied on MySpace, which I know whenever I tell that to the girls that I work with now, they think I'm ancient, but that was the cool thing whenever I was in middle school. And it was one of those moments, it's so hard to describe, where you just feel like your entire heart is like dropping out of your chest. And honestly, I haven't had too many similar experiences since then that are really equate to how that feeling really felt. And essentially what happened is, you know, I got home from school. It was a normal day. I logged on to MySpace to see what everybody was saying. And there were these things on MySpace called bulletins. And they were basically long form posts, like a long kind of Facebook post or the equivalent of that. And it was from a girl that I knew. She was on my cheer team. And I lived in a really small town at this time. So everyone kind of knew everybody. And I remember the bulletin was titled Her. And it was, you know, bolded and italicized. And I thought, I wonder what this is about. And I clicked on it and I was reading it. And it was about some girl at our school who was a backstabber and was fake and was tricking everyone into thinking she was this innocent, nice girl. And I'm like getting out the popcorn going, oh, this is some drama. Who is this about? And I will honestly never forget the feeling. I scrolled to the bottom and she put my first, middle, and last name in bold letters at the bottom. And I just remember seeing that and honestly, my brain just short-circuited. Like I said, you really can't explain what it feels like. And at that time, it felt like I was the only person in the world who had ever had this happen to them. Because in my little bubble, I kind of was. I had never seen something like this happen to someone before. And I just remember replaying every interaction I had with her, trying to think, where did I go wrong? And not only that, but of course, thinking how many people have seen this, how do I delete this? Knowing, you know, tomorrow when I go to school, this is all everyone's going to be talking about. But instead of thinking, which is what I should have done, why would this girl say all these things about me when we are hardly acquaintances? And she doesn't know me well enough to, you know whether these things are true or not. And I know they're not true. But instead of thinking that, I thought, well, since she said it, it must be true. I wonder what I did that made me a horrible person. And just looking back on that, it really is so powerful how one other girl's mean words completely changed the viewpoint I had of myself as a person. And it really just goes to show the power of those words, even when you know they're not true.
So what did you do?
I did not do what I should have, and I didn't tell anyone because I thought if I never talk about this ever again and I X out and I try to erase it from my memory, it'll be like it never happened. And of course, that was not the case. And my best friend saw it and it became a, you know, we're on Lauren's team or we're on this other girl's team at school. And it was, like I said, I was in a really small town, so you can't avoid people. You know, we're going to pass each other in the hallways. And it honestly was really tense and people picking sides for a while. And I remember my mom, who I've always been really close with, she noticed that something was up, which just goes to show she really knows me, because I remember at the time I thought I was you know, the best actress in the world. I thought I was playing this off so well. No one knew anything was going on. I remember my mom sat me down and was like, something's going on with you and you need to tell me what it is. And so I finally fessed up, told her all about it, everything that had happened. And I remember it felt so good to finally just get the words out of my system that I had been holding in. And the reason I hadn't told my mom to begin with is because I knew my mom well enough to know she was going to march up to that school and fix this problem for me, which is that her first reaction was to do. And I remember begging her not to do anything and telling her it would have just embarrassed me more. And I remember just having a really great conversation with her where she basically said the things I just did. Well, are these things true? And I said, of course not. And she said, well, then why are we letting her make us this upset for this long? You know, why are we letting this one person make you miserable, not want to go to school? I remember I wanted to quit the cheer team because it just didn't feel worth it. And just the act of telling someone I trusted, I remember thinking, why didn't I say this a long time ago? But there really is some truth to just wanting it to go away and just bury it down. And like I said, if I just pretend like this never happened, maybe it will disappear. And I've come to find out that honestly, that's never the case.
At what point did you really believe your mother's words?
Honestly, it took a really long time. It's one of those scenarios where logically, you know that the words someone's telling you are true, but emotionally, it's not connecting. And it's so easy whenever your parents tell you something or someone who obviously loves you, a family member, you know, someone that's really close to you, say, well, you have to say those things or your opinion doesn't count. You're my mom or you're my dad. And it's really easy to kind of do that and brush it to the side. But like I said, logically, I think I always knew. It made sense to me. Like, of course, these things aren't true, but it didn't make me really feel any better in the moment. And actually, it wasn't until several years after that, I ended up moving to Texas, so to a different state. And I remember whenever I moved, I had like, I don't even want to use the word party, a little going away thing in the school's library where, you know, someone brought cupcakes and, you know, I just kind of like said bye to my friends. And I remember this girl in particular showed up. And at this point, I don't think there had been much like drama or communication, but we certainly weren't friends, you know, after everything that had transpired. Remember, she showed up and of course I'm thinking, I am not about to let this girl ruin my last day here. You know, someone tell her to leave. But she came in, said she wanted to talk to me, and she did end up apologizing. And what she said was that she said something along the lines of, you know, I actually never thought those things and I don't really know why I said them. And so I'm really sorry. And you might be thinking that that made me feel better. But honestly, in the moment, I just remember it making me so frustrated because I thought to myself, this was over nothing. You don't even know why all of this. And I remember thinking like, this girl has no idea how much she has put me through. But looking back now, and obviously having much more life experience at this point, I actually realized how hard that must have been for her to say to me. And I've done things where later I go, why did I do that? And it just has everything to do with yourself and nothing to do with the other person. Mm-hmm. And so I recognize now that that was probably really truthful, that she was going through something and probably having her own insecurities. And in the moment, it felt good to say what she said. And then, of course, afterwards, she had to back it up. And then in hindsight, yeah, I'm sure she didn't know why she did it. And I think a lot of girls find themselves in that situation, whichever side you're on in the equation, you know, I think that happens more often than we might realize.
So then you founded an organization that really focused on helping girls be confident and be aware of what can happen when you're bullied. And so tell us about Girls Above Society.
I started out sharing my story of just what happened to me and kind of how I got through it and giving advice the best that I could to other girls my age. And I started out doing this with Girl Scout troops and other small groups of girls. And what really inspired me to do that in the first place is, one, I grew up in community theater. And that was something that my mom and I did together. She would direct the shows and I was in them, and I was never all that talented. I was usually in the back somewhere, but I had a great time. And mostly what that did is it cured me of any stage fright, really. Like, I was not afraid to get up in front of people. people and share a story, which I now realize is a huge skill. And also at that time, there was a lot of suicides from bullying that were in the news. And I was seeing those and it was hitting me really hard because I remember thinking, you know, if I didn't have the family that I do or the support system I do, I mean, that could have been me. You know, like these kids, they went through similar stories of what I did. They just didn't have anyone to talk to about it or have a safe place to go after school. And that really hit me hard. And I thought, you know, I do have a story to tell, and not that I'm an expert by any means, but if I can help even one person to be able to say, hi, I got through it and here's how I did. And, you know, hopefully this helps, then, you know, what a great gift to be able to give to someone. And so it really started out just doing that. I never saw it getting any bigger. And it wasn't until I went and I spoke at an elementary school and the school counselor came up to me afterwards and said, what's your 501c3 tax status so that we can send you a donation? I was like, I will have to get back to you about that. I went home and asked my parents and did some Googling and thought, you know, maybe this would be a good idea. I thought just simply for the idea of, you know, people will be more willing to donate. And then with that money, I could have more activities for the kids to do. Because I realized very quickly that a large group of elementary school or middle school age girls, their attention spans are not very long. So if you can give them something to do with their hands while they're listening or an activity that goes along with it, then you'll be much more successful and they'll have a bigger takeaway. Honestly, it just snowballed from there because, of course, at that point, I have to come up with a name and then a logo and then the website. And, you know, before I knew it, we had the curriculum in multiple schools and a lot of volunteers across the country. So I feel like it's been a snowball that I'm just kind of chasing, to be honest, is how it's felt, which is just really amazing. And just goes to show in life, you never know what happens if you don't kind of put yourself out there.
If one of our listeners is experiencing some form of bullying, cyberbullying, or any kind of bullying, or knows someone else who is, what advice do you have?
I would say tell someone you trust if you haven't already. By far, number one, I wish I would have done that so much sooner, because your own mind can be a scary place and it will spiral, and you need someone that you love and trust to sit there and remind you of the things you already know. Like, these things are not true. This person doesn't know you very well, whatever the situation might be. You know, this says more about them than it does about you. Everyone knows that's true logically, but I think just having someone in your corner in those types of experiences is by far and away the number one most important thing. And number two, and this is what I always tell the girls, is that you can't control other people, which is so frustrating because don't we all wish that we could, right? But you just can't. But you can control yourself and how you react to it outwardly. And almost always, if someone's bullying you, they're looking for a reaction, a sign of weakness.
Are there insecurities that you feel like you still face today, or obstacles that you still are trying to get through?
That has honestly been my biggest struggle through creating Girls Above Society and being the, you know, the leader of this organization, is just the idea of imposter syndrome. I've had so many moments where I'm like, who do I think I am being, you know, the face of this organization that promotes self-esteem, when like everyone else, I have so many insecurities and so many days where I just feel terrible and down on myself or hard on myself. But I actually think that in a really cool way, empowering other girls and women has empowered myself. Like, I've gained more from this than anyone else has. And part of it, I think, is almost, and I kind of hate this phrase, but I can't think of another way to word it right now, is when people say, like, fake it till you make it. That's kind of how it's felt. You know, if I'm going to go in front of a group of girls and talk about my story and give them tips on self-confidence, I need to look confident. But I also make a big point to tell the girls too that self-confidence is a journey, and there will never, ever be a day in their life where they're like, done, check that off the to-do list. I gained confidence today. Like, the definition of confidence is going to change. It's going to be different for every single girl. And as you go through stages of life, that's going to look and feel totally different. And so instead of thinking of it as a goal to accomplish, I think of it more as just a daily practice in life.
So how do you describe self-confidence for you?
one big thing that I've realized is how I feel when I'm with different people. Sometimes, you know, in certain situations, I feel like I can't be myself. Like that feeling where you hear your voice and what you're saying, you're like, is that me? Like, this doesn't feel authentic. And then there's other situations I find myself in where I leave that, whether I'm, you know, spending time with someone else or doing an activity. And when that moment ends, I look back on it and I'm like, I really felt like I was just living in the moment. And I've learned to recognize those feelings and trust them. And that's made such a big difference in my life. And I think that really has to do with, when do I feel confident and what am I doing? Like, self-confidence for me is really when I'm just not thinking about myself.
With the work that you're doing, you know, you are constantly encouraging girls to confidently use their voice, to claim their power, to know their worth. But how can we all encourage other women and girls to confidently use their voice and claim their power?
Listening is really the strongest tool I found. Whenever we do the Girl Talk curriculum, there's always a discussion piece, which is, the girls think the activity is the most important part, but by far the most important part is the discussion at the end. And I mean, it's not unusual for us to have these girls in tears sharing how they feel because they've never said it out loud. And these are, you know, fifth grade girls. And just creating these safe spaces for girls to be able to speak up and say, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm not good enough. And it's amazing to see their faces light up and the look in their eyes when another girl says, I feel that way sometimes too. And they're just like, you do? And, you know, and I've even heard girls say, but you're so pretty, or you're so popular, you feel that way. And really just recognizing that no matter what you look like, where you come from, what your background is, everyone has had these similar feelings. And that even though it's not a good feeling to have when we're talking about insecurity and self-doubt, it is something that brings us together. And I always tell the girls, you know, you're all going through the same thing at the same time. Isn't it silly that you're pretending like you're not? We all want to carry ourselves as if we're perfect, as if, well, I've never had these feelings. But whenever we break down those barriers and we're honest about it, that's when the breakthroughs really happen. And I think it's in a strange way so empowering to realize that you're not alone and that there is nothing wrong with you, that you feel this way, that everyone has these feelings at some point in time. And then to be able to work together to kind of work through that and have tools to handle those feelings of insecurity or self-doubt whenever they creep in is so powerful. But I mean, the first step is just listening. So the best thing you can do is just be that person for someone.
That's powerful. Thank you so much, Lauren, really for just taking the time to be open and honest and sharing your story and how it's led you to be a part of such an incredible organization that's doing really powerful work. As always, to our listeners, thank you for making the time to listen to this episode of the Power of Stories podcast.
Thank you for what you're doing with this podcast. I feel so lucky to be included in this group of really amazing, accomplished women.
Lauren, I am grateful to you and your advice that self-confidence is a journey. And we never know where another woman is in that journey. So thank you so much. Thank you, Yodit. These conversations with you are always something that I look forward to, and I'm grateful to do them with you. And we also send out a big thanks to Lisa DeJavine, whose voice you don't hear, but Lisa is the co-producer and editor of the Power of Stories podcast. And to our listeners, we invite you to visit sayitforward.org, a place where you are welcome to share one or more stories about your unique path to empowerment. Or you can read the stories of other women and girls. This is Sharon Catherine D'Agostino
and Yodit Kifle-Smith signing off for now and hoping you'll join us for our next episode of the Power of Stories podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, we do hope you'll give us a review and recommend the Power of Stories to a friend. And lastly, we want to remind you of the power of your story.